Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I'm glad you were all able to make it back to another broadcast. This is your host, Minister Yvonne Dimas. And our scripture tonight is going to come from the book of Luke 13, starting at 22. Let's go ahead with our scripture, shall we? Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" He said to them, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, 'Sir, open the door for us.' But he will answer, 'I don't know you or where you come from.' Then you will say, 'We ate and we drank with you, and you taught in our streets.' But he will reply, 'I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers.' There will be weeping there, gnashing of teeth, when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourself thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and the first will be last." Luke 13:22-30. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for just your presence here tonight, dear Father, in our homes, in our cars, wherever we're at, whatever we're doing. Thank you, dear Father, for being in our minds. Thank you for including us, dear Father, in your blessings as you send out blessings of deliverance, dear Father. As you send out blessings, dear Father, just to bring our minds into the right position so we can hear from you, to remove the blinders from our eyes. We thank you, Jesus, for unstopping our ears that we will be able to hear from you today. We just thank you for your powerful word. Thank you for everything that you are. We don't want to take anything for granted. I thank you, Jesus, for our jobs, dear Father, wherever they are, and may we cease the grumbling. If we want to go somewhere, ask God and move and make that move. And wherever we're at in our lives, in our marriages, in our lives, whatever it is, I just encourage you, Jesus, we invite you to come and live inside of us and dwell inside of us. Bring your spirit and fill us up. Where we're all broke down and torn down and confused, dear Father, come and give us your understanding that's beyond anybody else's understanding. That peace. Dear Father, give us that understanding that we can stop depending on our own understanding. We're weak without you, dear Father. We invite you to take control, dear Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, sisters and brothers, I invite you to do something, and it is an action thing. As we do our self-inventories of ourselves each and every day, look at you. Talk to you. How did you do today? I ask you to present anything that is going on in your life right now. I don't care how good it feels. You have to move emotions out of the way right now. Regardless of how good it makes you feel or the reason that you got into that relationship that you're in for comfort, because you was looking for this and you didn't get it from no whatever, whatever in your past may have drove you to, can you just move those emotions out of the way for a minute? Just open up your heart. Just look at all the things that you said today. Is that the things that God would be pleasing? Is it pleasing to his ears? When he touched you and woke you up this morning, the things that you did today, just wide open. Just open yourself wide open to the Lord. Ask God to search my heart. Reveal to me the things that I could have did better in today. Reveal to me the things that my tongue should have stayed pinned down to my mouth, but it decided to move around and cut someone today. Reveal to me the things, dear Father, that I did it that was not pleasing to you today. Now, if there's that relationship that you're in, I know you're afraid of what it's going to feel like to be without that person, but can you just take a moment and just reveal yourself to God? Open yourself wide open, wide open, wide open, wide open. All around the world, just right now. just open yourself up to the Lord. Any lies that you tell, repent of those lies. Repent of those lies. You said that lie may have helped me get this, but repent of those lies. Anyone that you should have helped, but you didn't because of something that they did to you or something that you just didn't feel like going out of your way to help them, whatever it was, whatever it was, can you take the time right now to just repent of those things? At least admit it to yourself. What was wrong? The things that you live in, that lifestyle that you live in, it may not match up with the Word of God. It doesn't have to match up with Minister Vaughn's Word. That doesn't matter. But can you just be open for just one moment, just wide open right now? You may have to get up and leave the room for someone that you're sitting beside right now because you want to take this opportunity to just be wide open. Oh, Lord, I know your Word says this, but it feels so right. Reveal to me, Jesus, how it is that you would want me to go about to change this. This is who I feel I am. Where do I start with a change? But I do invite you, Father, to come and use me. Use me just like you use everyone else. I'm here for a reason. Show me that reason. Use me, Father. And I know right now the enemy is trying to harden so many hearts right now. But no, I dare not change. I enjoy where I'm at in my life. I enjoy this position that is just, I know that we're doing people wrong and everything is wrong about the company, but I enjoy the finances that come out of it. Some drug dealers said, I enjoy the money that I make. I spend my own hours and I get to do my own thing and I got my own clientele and I enjoy this lifestyle. It's not my responsibility as the ones to get them strung out and how to destroy his family. That's not my responsibility. I beg to differ. I beg to differ. Are you going to be one of those on the outside of the door? When the door is locked, it's locked. And you will not be able to enter in. But every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that every word of the Lord is true. That every word that he's given to us, we were responsible to try to live by. And when we blatantly just choose, we're going to do this, but not this, and that, but this, we're going to be held accountable for that. And that penalty is a very tough penalty. You know, you've tried that life. You've tried living like that. Sir, you're trying to make up your decision now to get your wife and kids out of the house? Divide another family? Really? It's something else. Take out time to think about that thing. Take out time to just pray about that thing. What is it that you're unsure about? What is it that you have a double mind about? Today you're wanting her, tomorrow you're not? What has you so double-minded? What has you so confused? The word doesn't come with confusion. Because what you don't understand, he says that you can open your mouth and just speak to me. Open your heart and just speak to me. I send someone to just send the word off inside of you. Just invite me to come and live inside of you. I will reveal it to you. Well, all right then. That's that. Everyone's had their opportunity to open themselves up to the Lord, repent of your sins. So we're going to move on with the word, okay? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we're talking about, in the word, increasing our faith and just making big requests of God. And we're moving into, you know, participating in great works through our prayers. If you're just joining us now in the series, I invite you to go back into our guides and just pick up on the selections, and it's free of charge. You can download them to MP3, to CDs, whatever you need to do just to get the word. See, the word is the word. So God is the word, and if you're trying to get closer to God, you need the word in you. Amen? Because if you don't have the word in you, then God is not living in you. You say, but I know God. I believe in God. But where is he at in your life? Where is he at in your life? See, if God is living inside of you, you're not going to be able to lay down after doing all that mess that you've been doing daily and daily and daily.
Not if God is living inside of you.
If you're praying for God to heal you, but you're still out here living a life that's not according to his will, you know, it's just like you're slipping on a banana peel and you don't know which way you're going to fall today. Today you may have a little luck and you fell on one side and tomorrow it's another.
I tell you, we have to find ways to get stressed out of our lives. We have to find ways to get stressed out of our lives. And sometimes when we think that we're running in the right direction, as age catch up with us, we'll find out that we spent a lot of years doing a lot of wrong things with a lot of wrong people at the wrong place. Some of us make it through to make differences and changes in our lives, and some of them are caught. Our number is called. God calls our name and calls us home. And we're caught right there in the midst of that. And once we're caught, we have no way of changing our decisions that we've made. But right here, right now, you do. And I'm trying to move on with my test for today. I'm trying to move on with our study for today. But God, being the merciful God that he is, he is reaching out, waiting patiently in line just for you. All the other things that you've been choosing in life, he's still waiting just for you. And you know that. You know that. I know you love the things that you're doing right now. But you're finding that it's a different kind of love. It's deeper. It goes deeper and deeper. Allow God to show you that. For him to penetrate your heart, your spirit, your soul. Don't worry about the feelings of someone else. God will help you. Make sure he conquers them too. He'll build them up just like he's building you up. Don't let life's little chores make you turn around and do something that you know that's not right, that's not of God. Don't just sit down on this journey and settle for this. Settle for that. Not for being with her or being with him, but just sitting there on that job when you know it's something else you need to be out there doing. Ask God to give you his heart's desires. Ask him to place it and tuck it right down in your heart. All of his desires for you. Ask God to tuck them in your heart and to show you how to start living out his desires for you. Okay. Hallelujah. I pray this is your opportunity, that you're taking advantage of it. You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. Again, it's walkwithmegod@aol.com. You can leave any prayer request there. You can ask for any biblical literature. We'll talk about any topic that you want to. Put a suggestion in the email of a topic that you would like to hear on. We'll open up the lines one night and we'll let everyone call in and we'll talk about it. Amen? If we run out of time here on the blog talk, we'll get on that conference line. We'll get on that toll-free conference line and we'll talk until we talk out. It's important to have somebody to know that someone's in your corner. I don't care what your lifestyle is and what it is you do and don't believe, but believe me, when you're hurting enough, when you have backed yourself into a corner deep enough, you will come and you will recognize that you need prayer. You know, I don't care who you are. I hear from all walks of life. But when it comes to when you really need help, you really need to get a prayer through, remember, you can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. Amen. That's your confidential prayer line. We can either do it together on a conference line with others, or again, you can send me something personal in an email. It's personal between you and I. But don't you miss an opportunity to grow closer with Christ, to increase your communion with Christ. He's looking for an intimate relationship with you, and you're looking for intimacy also. That's what you're looking for. He's got something special for you at this place, but you won't allow it. He's got his hand reached out towards you. He's got the gift of love, the gift of hope, the gift of joy, the gift of prospering. Even in those areas where people say, you're not good in this, God has those answers. He has those gifts all tied up waiting for you. Unwrap the bow. This is his present to you. Will you take the present or will you accept it? Are you really ready to start in your life? I used to forget it. This is just it for me. I've always had a hard life, and this is the best I've ever been. I don't think it's going to get any better than this. Okay. We're moving on. We're moving on. You know how to reach me. You know what you need to do. Then you're accountable for doing it. Whether you harden your heart right now and try to help everybody else in the room with you right now out of listening to the Word of God, you are accountable. Amen. You know, divine miracles occur daily. And when closed minds become open, that's what we're all asking right now. Open your closed mind. You know, what would it hurt? What if it's the right thing? What if this is the thing that sets you on a high that you never found in that bottle? What if opening your mind to the Word of God, to His Spirit, is something that sets you on a high that you can't find in that joint? You can't find in that needle. And you can't find it in that love or lust bed that you're rolling around in. No, you can't. The more you try to find it, the farther it gets away from you. So God is still standing right here. So when you open up your closed mind, the spiritually blind suddenly sees the gospel's truth and rebels, surrenders, and becomes God's children. When you open up your mind, all of those things happen. All of those rebellious things that you used to think about, and I don't care what nobody says, this is my life and I'm not going to change it, I live it like I want to. When you open up your mind to Christ, those rebellious thoughts, they surrender to the Word of God. They surrender and you accept the fact that you are a child of God. Where you were suddenly blind, you now can see the truth, the gospel. You see, Jesus promised that we who believe, that's me and you, anybody, we who believe, can have a part in a great work like these by making requests in His name. You really need that prayer answered? Make a request in His name. It's a promise that Jesus promised to us. For those who are believers, those who believers, yeah, Heavenly Father waits for us to draw near with our big petitions. He loves doing us favors. He loves to see that we are asking based on the merits and the works of Christ. See, we got the Word. We got the examples of how we're to ask. How are we to go about asking based upon the works of Christ? Hallelujah. He's looking and waiting just to see that we have confessed all of our known sins. We've confessed. We've repented of all of our known sins. There's always going to be something hidden inside of us that maybe we didn't even realize was still there. He said, I thought I was over that. I didn't even realize I was sinning in that way. Is pride really getting in my way over here or over there? So as we do more self-investigations of ourselves, those things are revealed, but right now, the known sins, those sins right now, you know what I'm talking about. The sins that even are out, that you want everybody to know that you're doing and you're proud of, yeah, those sins. And even those sins that you're hiding, you're one way in public, but you're another way behind doors, yeah, those sins. Yeah, those sins. Have you confessed of those known sins? See, these are steps you need to take in order to bring your big petitions to the Lord, in order to make the request in His name. And He's looking to know that we firmly believe that He'll do what He said He would do. And that takes a lot of time and patience with the Lord. That takes a lot of getting to know the Lord to the point that you believe that He said He would do what He would do. Because you start to see Him working in your life, doing all of these things, making a way out of no way,
That's where you get to believe. You just don't start one day and say, well, I believe everything, and there it is. I said it, I believe it, I'm not moving off of this word. But the more you read it, the more you understand it. The more you understand it, the more you believe it. The more you believe it, the more you want to continue to live it. It's a process. We so often don't want to do anything. So oftentimes, we just want to do things our way. We don't have time. We want to live so much of this life. We'll go to work on time. We'll go meet our spouses on time. We'll make our appointments for our kids on time. We'll flirt and go meet up at the right place that that cute guy or the cute girl is going to be at. And we don't have time for that. I don't care how busy we get. We'll take out a little time for that. But we take out no time for the Word. We don't want to take out no time to just surrender ourselves and be in prayer with the Lord. You said, I thought, Jim, when I get ready and I get into bed and I lay down and before I go to sleep, I pray, you know, thank you, Jesus, and, you know, I may fall off to sleep. But would that do? Would you have the person in your life right now if that's the way you treated your relationship with them? If you went on your job and you went in and you said, well, I'm here. I'm not going to really do anything today, but I'm here. How long do you think you will last on that job? Why is it that you think that you can just treat God any kind of way and that he's going to bless you, that he's going to hear your cries, that he's going to, you know, just move everything out of the way for you? He wants to. He loves you. He's hurting because he wants to talk to you. He misses your voice. He sees you talking to everyone else. He's waiting to talk to you. He's waiting on you. He wants you to believe that he will do everything that he said that he would do. You see, in other words, we're not to doubt our Father. Because our Father wants us to have faith that he will both keep his promises and that he will respond for our good. And because he sees the future and knows the end, like he did at the beginning, he knows what's good for us. So he will respond according to our good, not according to what it is the vine says right now that I think I see. This is what I think I would need to do this year. If I only could get there, and he may be telling me, no, sweetheart, what you need is right in front of you, right here. No, the person that I have that's going to help you in your life, that's the person that you keep turning your back on. That's the person that you keep praying to get out of your life. But how about them there for a reason? It's something outside of what you see. It's for your good. See, he delights in giving his children gifts. Delights in giving his children gifts. The gifts that will do you good. So that one that you may have selected to be in your life, and it just don't seem to be working out regardless of how hard you try. Because the enemy placed them there to block your blessing, to block you from seeing what it is that you know you saw before you met this person. God answers our requests when they are in alignment with his plan. So just ask them. God revealed to me the plans that I'm seeing, that I'm praying for, are they in alignment with your plan? Start reading in the Word to make sure that they line up with the Word. God's Word is not going to change. Something needs to change. It's the way that we look at it. It's our plan. So why not just ask him, God, you know the plans that you have for me. You know that those plans are to prosper me. So I just give it all to you. I surrender all of my decisions to you. And I invite you to come and take the wheel, take the controls, and come and live through me today. And as we know, he won't act in a manner inconsistent with his character. His character is love. His character is concern. So that's searching the scriptures. Searching the scriptures. Not your pastor searching them for you all the time. But by you taking out time and searching the scriptures, you and your spouse together. You pray together. What did he say? A family that prays together stays together. Because you search the scriptures and you find the answers. We can discover whether our desires line up with God's natural and his promises, maybe $100 is not lining up with his promises or with his nature. We might also learn about someone with a similar dilemma, just going through what we go through, like Elijah, who was exhausted and, you know, he was in despair. Or even, what about Ruth and Naomi? We search the scriptures and we may say, you know, this is really me. I'm going through what Ruth or Naomi or both of them went through. They were poor widows in need of the Lord's help. Is that where you're at? And something right here for you. But you got to search the scriptures. You look in there, you may see about David. David, whose life was in danger. You know, hadn't did anything to Saul. But Saul was determined to have him killed. Saul was determined to do him wrong. David had did nothing to him. He didn't want for him. And you may be in that situation that you're just deciding, I'm going to take them out before they take me out. I'm tired of running. You may need to read the story of David to see the opportunities that David had to take Saul out. He could have killed Saul. But if he didn't, what was his reward for that? How did he live through it? How did he get Saul out of his life? We have so many readers out here. People say, I love to read. I just love to read, Minister Vaughn. But you never read these stories. I dare you, read the story. Tell me the outcome. How did David get around Saul? How did David's life end up? What was David going through this? What period of his life was he in? What was his relationship to Saul? These are stories that keep you on your toes, ladies and gentlemen. Just when you start searching the scripture, you start to see their interactions with God and the ways that David responded to God, or Naomi and Ruth or Elijah responded. And you start to see how their response and the guidance of the Lord, and how we can speak with our Father about those same difficulties and get the same responses from the Lord. And we can be certain that the Holy Spirit will help us. I don't even know what to say. The Holy Spirit is there, and he does. The Holy Spirit knows what to say. The Holy Spirit is there to intercede for you, to help you through. So when you don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit will help you. It'll help you. The Holy Spirit is with you. See, God alone knows the perfect actions to take, and he knows the right time to do so. But he invites us to ask in faith. He invites us to keep on asking. He knows the right time. He knows the right action. So just ask in faith. And don't you stop. You pray until something changes in your life. Pray until something happens. You know, we was talking about on last broadcast that no one likes personal criticism. And sometimes it seems that, just like David, you go out of your way to help someone and encourage others, only to be met with maybe a harsh word or some accusation. And then you know how it is with accusations. One person, you don't even have to know the person. One person can meet you and they start saying, well, you know how I feel about this person or that person. And before you know it, you've got that same feeling deep down in your heart. And now you're telling somebody else about, you know, this person. And even the person hasn't said anything to you. But that's what everybody says, and that's what everybody does. And before you know it, you can't even walk in on your job without everybody looking at you, buddy, because one person started an accusation. Until it's so on you, you better watch yourself. You better watch yourself. God sees your heart. How are we ever to live in harmony and peace? How do you think you're going to get into the narrow gates of heaven with an attitude like this? How would you get along? What are you going to do up there? You think you're going to be a good person and talking about people and starting something and halfway doing your job and then And have we not today? And today you're loving the Lord. Today you're loving the enemy. Do you really have yourself that confused? Too often, after you've been in the one that's been the victim of the harsh words, when that happens, our protective shield just immediately goes up. But what do you do with a remark that has already been said? How do you handle that? What is our normal human response to criticism? You know, first we might respond by, you know, repressing the matter. Now, if we acknowledge there's a problem, we just don't want to do anything about it. And then in some cases, we may answer, you know, thank you for sharing your feelings, or I understand what you're saying. But yet, deep inside, we may not really understand. And we might feel grievously hurt by the comments, but just don't want to deal with the hardship of exploring it or maybe discussing it any further. Or sometimes we just may respond by suppressing the conflict. We may act as if nothing ever happened, just completely ignoring the situation, even to the extent that we actually become unaware that anything is wrong. It's far from being a cure. This only delays and it agitates our eventual reaction to the problem. Because you've got to deal with certain things in some way. Denying it is not going to cure the issue. And then sometimes we just might respond by blaming someone. We can be quick to the point, you know, point the finger at others and while denying any personal responsibility that are in the matter. But truth be told, in all situations, you got to look back at yourself and just be, what was it? Was I arrogant? Did some pride get in the way? What was it? Did I offer up some words to cut down somebody and I really didn't know it? What was it? You know, David even had to take time to just check himself out. What is God chasing me? Let me ask Jonathan. Maybe he can give me another view of it. What do you see? What have I done? What do you see in this? Let me look at me. And it's very important for us to keep our eyes on what we're doing, our action, what we're saying. We can't just let it flow and just come out of whatever. Not if you're intending to grow. If you've been in this same place and you've been, you know, I've been acting like this all of my life, shame on you then. Shame on you that you're still acting like that all of your life. Shame on you that you still got the same things going on in your life, all of your life. Shame on you that you haven't grown any. Shame on you. You may have acquired, but you haven't grown spiritually. Shame on you. You ought to check yourself. As we close tonight, I remind you to stop pulling that finger at others and just start looking at that personal responsibility. You know, look at some of it. And I'm sure it could be that the other person is mostly wrong, but look at yourself and just make sure it's nothing that you did to contribute to that. You know, selfish tendencies serve only to alienate us from any future growth are from those who have challenged us in the first place. So we don't want to make sure that we don't get selfish and don't just say forget about it, because we need to look and uncover some of the things that's really going on in that situation. Don't let it bog you down and get you down and stress you out, no. But in your self-inventory, just look and see. What's going on with me? Let me check out me. You know, and it's true that a word of criticism can hurt. But there may be something within the remark that is worth examining. That's all I'm asking you to do. My young people, your parents keep saying the same thing over and over again. You say, why do they keep saying it over and over again? Maybe you're just not getting it. And it's so important that they refuse to give up on you. It's so important that they refuse to just say, I don't know the room. I threw up my hand. It could be your pastor, your minister, that keeps telling you, my old people who's been sitting there doing the same thing over and over and over again. And they're ready to make you do a move, grow. Are you even promising to even go to church, get involved in a church, come do something for the kingdom, do something for the Lord, which in return does all things for you. But one thing or another keeps you away from me. One thing or another. It's my lifestyle that I'm going to like. Go for the Lord. If it's something in your lifestyle that he doesn't like, he'll reveal it to you and he'll put it in your heart and help you through the Holy Spirit changing. Amen? Amen. So it's something worth examining. So I ask you tonight, are you strong enough to face criticism with humility and godly confidence? Not overly confidence where you're getting smart right back, but with godly confidence. Can you humble yourself to check yourself out to see if there's anything in there that needs to be examined? Investigated. Amen? And then right now, before we close, someone out there just have not taken the time just to invite the Lord to come and live inside of them. You've heard the word, and your mama went to church, and grandmama went to church, and may have even dragged you to church, but it was just another place that you went. It was nothing that you really wanted to do. Or you may enjoy singing in the choir, but that was just something for entertainment. But now in your life, you got on your big girl clothes. You got on your big boy pants. It's time for you yourself to come and get a relationship with the Lord before it's too late. If you died right now today, are you for sure that you would spend eternity with God? I'm for sure that he's gone ahead and prepared a place for you. That where he is that you may be also, are you for sure that you will be there? If you're not, just repeat these words after me. Heavenly Father, I believe that you are the one and only God. You are the creator of all things on earth. I believe that you gave your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And I believe that he did what I couldn't do. He gave his life for me, that my sin will not keep me separated from you. I ask you to clean my slate, wipe my sin clean. Forgive me of my sins as I repent of them right now. And make me whole again. I invite you to come and live inside of me. Be my Lord and Savior, not just for now, but forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just pray that prayer, you are a new creature in Christ. Now, old things have passed away. They may look the same, but believe the word from 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Start looking for new things in your life. Start looking for new people to just pop up in your life. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Now, the enemy's going to try to keep them up in your life, but don't allow it. You pray real hard tonight, and I'm going to pray for you also. And we'll come back tomorrow and do this again, okay? You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. This is your host, Minister Von Dumas, signing off. Good night.